If you wouldn't mind, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Peter. We'll be in 1 Peter today, just looking at some things that he had to say to us that are very, very important. But wanted to give a shout out to Aaron and Vicky Moon. They are now in Chiang Mai. They were in Myanmar, and they're watching. He called me this morning, and they're watching. So hi, guys. Everybody say hi to them over there in Thailand. So they had to leave Myanmar, that's how you say it, Myanmar, and then they're in Thailand there in Chiang Mai and seeing what the Lord will have them do. Somebody gave me a bumper sticker that was on my desk this morning. Can anybody see what it says? Open churches save lives. What do you think? So appropriate. So today is Memorial Day, in case you didn't know, and it's a special day. It truly is. It was first celebrated. And I think it was just after the Civil War to commemorate those that had given their lives for the United States. And that is a special thing that we see and we honor. They started out by decorating the graves in Arlington National Cemetery, and they still do that to this day, and we are to honor them because people gave their lives that we could be free today. Amen? Amen. It truly is. Those that are here in the military, thank you. Been in the military, thank you for your service too. It's an honor to have you with us here. It truly, truly is. So 1 Peter chapter 1, if you wouldn't mind. If you need a Bible, just raise your hand. Our plans were to be outside, and yesterday we had to make a decision. It was cold, it was windy out there, and we looked at the forecast, and it said it was going to be the same temperature, and wind was going to be strong, about 15 miles an hour, so we said go inside. Here we are inside. I know there's those that are glad that are inside, those that would like to be outside. It's beautiful. So we're inside. Get over it if you wanted to be outside, okay? You know, we are here. We are truly here. And so praise the Lord. Let's start with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for all of those men and women that served in the armed forces. And we particularly remember those that gave their lives, the ultimate sacrifice, that we might be free. Our nation is going through difficult times, it seems, at this point, Lord, but we trust you that you'll guide us through. But we thank you. The families that are still alive, that this day they'll remember their loved ones, might you comfort them and bless them. And so we thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you that you, Lord Jesus, came and gave the ultimate sacrifice too. You died on that cross. They placed your body in a grave, but you rose from the dead to the living. And because of that, there's victory. Victory forever and ever. So as we go through your word, may you bless us. We love you and thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen? Okay, 1 Peter chapter 3. I'm just going to kind of go through and give a little commentary. So if we wouldn't mind just paying real close attention to the words that are in Scripture here, because they're amazing words. Peter gives us these words. He starts out talking about the heavenly inheritance that we have. So let's spend some time there and ask the Lord to bless us that way. In verse 3 of chapter 1, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us," us being you and I, "again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Now, as we go through this, keep in mind that we're going to have a baptism. After this service, we're going to eat first, then we're going to go over approximately about 12:30, I think it'll work out, and have a baptism. That's a very, very special time. Brennan, where are you? Right there. You're going to be baptized, right? You excited? Yes. He gave me a message. He wants to be baptized and all that. And I think that's good. It's good that we would go at that young age and we would support him and what he wants to do. And others are being baptized today too. So we put a heater in the water so you'll be warm. That we figured it out. I'm lying, by the way. But baptism points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We know that when we go into the water, we go into the grave, symbolically, in a spiritual sense, with Jesus Christ. And when we come up out of the water, the resurrection, the resurrected life, that's what we live in today. The old man is left behind. Behold, all things have become new. And so here it says the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We're not there yet, but we will be. Amen? Someday, soon, we will be in heaven. And that inheritance that is there for us, then we will inherit it in its fullness. Notice it says, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. There's trials in this world. There's trials that we go through. But notice in verse 7, it tells us why, that the genuineness of your faith, this is why we go through trials, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found in praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. We've not seen the Lord. I don't know. I've never seen the Lord at this point, but I know I love him, and I know that maybe more than likely you have not seen the Lord, but I know that you love him because you showed up today. Whom, having not seen, you love, verse 8, though now you do not see him, yet believing, we believe, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And look at verse 9, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Victory today. Ultimately, yes, but victory for all of us as Christians today over the power of sin in our lives, over the presence of sin someday when we're with him forever and ever. There's victory in Christ Jesus for you and I. Verse 10, of this salvation, notice, of this salvation that we're enjoying today, the prophets have inquired, the Old Testament, and searched carefully, the Old Testament scriptures, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, that means you and I, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory, the glories that would follow. In Isaiah chapter 52, Isaiah chapter 53, we see a picture of the Lamb of God, the suffering Christ that we have there. Just you can't miss it. We see it in Psalm 22. You can't miss it. Jesus on the cross said, Father, forgive them for not, my God, why have you forsaken me? And it's not that God had forsaken him. He was going through something he had never experienced before. But the way the Jewish people, as you know, memorized scripture and turned to scripture because they didn't have books and chapters and all those in that sense. They would go chapters and verses, and so they would go to that place. My God, why have you forsaken me? And if they read through that, they would see a perfect picture of the crucifixion of Christ, the death of Christ right there. So in the Old Testament, it's there. Now we see in the New Testament revealed to its fullness. Searching what? Verse 11, or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desired to look into. Angels desired to look into what we now understand. Angels of God, a mystery that we see. We find that as we read through Ephesians. We find it in different places. It speaks of the mystery of Christ. It was hidden in ways in the Old Testament, but then yet revealed now when he came here upon this earth. Anybody watch the TV show Chosen? Isn't that great? You need to see it. Everybody needs to see it if you haven't seen it. It's great. It's amazing to see that. And so the angels looked into those things, wanting to understand the things that now we understand. Look at verse 13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus should be upon our minds. He should be upon our hearts. He should be there on our lips as we speak to other people each and every day. Verse 14, we see that Peter says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. That's our challenge. Why? Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Peter goes back to Leviticus chapter 11 and repeats that. In verse 17, and if you call on the Father who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear. Be reverent, reverential in our walk as we speak of the Lord and we love him and we walk in him. And then I love verse 18, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Isn't that amazing that Jesus, God himself, would come to this earth and that he would die for us? It's an amazing thing that we believe. We believe it, do we not? We truly believe it. Why is it that we believe that? And then the majority, unfortunately, of the world does not believe that. Because a miracle has happened in our hearts. We were somehow willing to receive the truth that God had for every single human being. It says in Scripture, he does not desire that any would perish. Titus speaks to us of that. None would perish. He wants everyone to be saved. And I believe personally, the way that I look at Scripture, that he does anything that he can to draw people unto himself. No matter where they are, no matter where they're born, no matter what religion they're born into, I believe God is big enough. If he created the whole universe, then he's big enough and he cares enough and he loves everyone, as it says, then to reach out and speak somehow to an individual. But if they would only listen. Today, one of the places where there's a revival taking place is in the nation of Iran, of all places. You guys been reading about that? It's an outpouring of God's Spirit, God working in a powerful way. There, in my generation, a while ago, back in Southern California, then when the hippies and all that, a divine move of God in people's lives. How many want to see a revival now come once again? We must pray and we must believe that God will come once again and pour out his Spirit, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, he gave his life for you and I. Anybody say praise the Lord? That's what he has done. Look at verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And so it was set in place before the very foundation of the earth was set in place and was revealed in these last days for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. You know, we are to have faith and hope in other people, but they'll disappoint us. God never will. He never will. He's never lied to me. He's never lied to you. No matter what, he will always be there to help us through to the very end. We must stay close to him, though. Verse 22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever. Romans tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what ignites the truth, the word of God. When you get a chance to witness to somebody, you're excited about talking to a relative or someone that you know and love, you work with or you play baseball with, you tell them about Jesus Christ. You have to make a stand, right? He has to make a stand. This young man here has had to make a stand. And so we make a stand, but we should give him the word of God, because they may argue against it. They may not like it, but it's true. No matter what, it's lasting. You always give the word of God, and that's what Peter is saying here. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, verse 22 again, through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of the grass. That's who we are as men. The grass withers and its flower fades away. But look at verse 25. But the word of God endures how long? Forever. That's where we put our anchor upon. The word of God and all that is revealed to us, the truth that is there. Man does not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word that proceeds from the word of God, the mouth of God, the mouth of God in that way. And so Psalm 1 speaks about the word of God, that we will be blessed if we stay in the word of God. Now, this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. Then chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes who we are, desiring the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, and I pray that that's what we have tasted of. Coming to him, verse 4, as to a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, you and I, as living stones, are being built up in a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, speaking of Christ, elect, precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. That's a promise. Put a star in your Bible. That's a promise. If we believe in him, we trust in him, we rely upon him, we adhere to him, we will never be ashamed. We can stand upon him. And notice verse 8, it says, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient. These are those that will not accept Christ. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you, verse 9, notice, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Have you ever wondered what your purpose is? Notice again in verse 9, you are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. That's who we are. That you and I may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. How many here today, by a show of hands, had someone witness to you directly concerning the gospel of Jesus Christ? I did. How many here, because of that, ultimately accepted the Lord as their Savior? That's a testimony to us. That's something to pay attention to. There are thousands, tens of thousands, I would say, just in America alone, millions of people that need to hear, obviously, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when the gospel comes to them, there are those that will give their hearts to Jesus. We are the light that shines in this world. We are the salt that is to be spread across the planet. We are the ones that know the truth. I didn't know the truth. I knew about the truth, but I didn't know the truth. There was a difference. I knew about the truth, but then I had to come to know the truth in my heart. And that's who we are, to take the truth. Precious in the sight of God. Precious. So then it goes on, he says in verse 10, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Peter there giving us an encouragement. Having your conduct, now he's telling us how we are to act, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that they, when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." And so just a short little devotion there out of 1 Peter, just to remind us of the goodness of God and how blessed we truly are. Now go with me, please, to Romans chapter 6. I just want to cover 14 verses. I want to switch over to remind us of the importance of water baptism and why we are baptized. Today, if you've been born again, you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen? Praise the Lord. You are saved. If any of us have given our hearts to Jesus Christ today and we die, then praise the Lord, we'll go to be with Him. Water baptism doesn't mean anything as far as salvation, eternal life is concerned. But it is very, very important, and I'll explain why. When we have been saved, then we are to model what Jesus has done for us. And so that's why there is baptism. We're going to talk about that. There's something that's very important for us to understand. Many people are weak in their walks today because they have not been baptized, especially when the Lord says to you that you are to be baptized. Now, I'm not giving you a law, but I'm giving you a privilege, an honor that we can have. So if you're sitting here today and you're listening, and I am purposely challenging you in a loving way to consider that if you've not been baptized, you're born again and you've not been baptized, then it would be good for you to be water baptized. Does it have to do, if you don't, you won't be saved? No. But we're going to talk now about what it means to you, the understanding that we enter into and the importance that we have. So beginning in verse 1 of chapter 6, "What shall we say then," Paul the Apostle says, "shall we continue in sin that grace may abound?" What's the answer to that one? Certainly not. We shouldn't do that. "Sir, how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it?" Now, that's the reality. In a spiritual sense, Paul's talking about the reality of what happens. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have what? Passed away. In a spiritual sense, Romans chapter 7 teaches us there's a battle that goes on, but the reality is that we can live in this area that Paul's going to encourage us to live in. So how shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know, verse 3, that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, that's a spiritual baptism there he's speaking of, were baptized into his death. In that Jesus went into the grave, then in a spiritual sense, the reality is that we went into that cross, into that grave. Well, see, and that Jesus was crucified on the cross, in a real spiritual sense, we were crucified on that cross too, along with Christ Jesus. And the scripture will explain that. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism," a spiritual baptism, "into death." That's who we are. That's what happened to our lives when we accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior. He goes on in verse 4 and says, "Just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so," what's the next word? We. Who's we? You and I, all of us that are here. I know I'm pointing that out and being a little bit silly, but it's important. "Even so, we also should walk," how? What's it say? Newness of life. That's who we are. We're new in Christ Jesus. This is the reason why we get baptized. And this is the reason why at baptismal services I'll share these scriptures, because it teaches us who we are in Christ. The world wants to tell us who we are in the world, but it's a lie, right? Of course, there's a lot of challenges in all that. But yet, this is who we are in Christ Jesus, and it's important. This is who I am. When the enemy comes in and lies to us, we can say, no, in the name of Jesus, I'm not going to listen to that. When our flesh wants to tempt us and draw us away from the path that we should be walking on, that is the right way, where God wants us to walk that path, and there's that temptation, we can look at that temptation and say, no, I don't have to pay attention to that. By the power of Jesus Christ, I can walk this way, not that way. And this is what Paul's teaching us, an understanding, a spiritual reality that took place the moment that we gave our hearts to Jesus Christ. That's why Brennan's going to be baptized today. He's young. He may not understand what the depth of this is talking about, but yet in obedience, this young guy, he had us over to his house. They had us over, but he invited us to make pancakes. And it was so sweet. We had the greatest pancakes. We really did. He was supposed to do the little chocolate chips. You know, he was supposed to hold off until the end and then put them on after you make the pancakes right there and all that. But he mixed them in. So it was all melted together. It was good. It was really good. You should try. It was really good. But you know, he may not understand all, but he's being obedient to be baptized, to go into the water, symbolic of going in the grave with Jesus Christ, coming up out of the water, symbolically coming into the resurrected life of Jesus. That's who you and I are. Praise the Lord. That's what Paul's saying. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Look at verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, which we have been, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So we walk in that and understand that. Yes, we died with Christ, but today we are alive in Christ Jesus, the resurrected life. Knowing this, verse 6, that our old man was crucified, that person who we used to be was crucified with him, in that he was crucified on that cross. Then our old man was crucified on that cross with him, that the, verse 6, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. How about that? That's our goal. We don't have to give in to it. We will fail, yes. There's not one person that's perfect other than Jesus Christ that ever walked on this earth. Not anybody, but yet we can walk in newness of life, the truth that he has. Look in verse 7, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the desire of the flesh. Powerful, very powerful. How do we live our lives? How do we not walk in sin? We simply walk in the Spirit. We stay in the Word, we stay in prayer, we stay in fellowship. We do that. Open churches save lives. Open churches save lives. You know, we get into the Word of God. I'm going to wrap it up here. Look at verse 8. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Yeah, future tense, but present tense. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. And I love verse 11. Likewise, you also reckon. That word reckon means count it to be so. Let's do that again. Likewise, you also reckon, count it as so, yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. See why it's so important to be baptized? You honor God. You're obedient to the call that he has in Scripture to be baptized. It has nothing to do with our salvation, but it has everything to do after our salvation, to recognize the truth that he has done for us. And so that's why we rejoice when we go down into that cold water, and then we come up out of that cold water quickly, okay, and we are baptized for the glory of God. And then we use that as a point of reference. My wife and I were saved on June 1975. I know it was a long time ago. In June of 75. There shortly thereafter, with a month or two after that, in Mission Bay, we were baptized. As long as I've walked with the Lord, 40-some years, I go back in my mind to that day when I got baptized into the grave, resurrected life. When sin comes my way, then I go back and say, no, this is who I am. This is who I am. That was strong in my life. Temptation is great. The world is powerful in so many different ways. But God has finished it all for me. Reckon. Count it so. Again, verse 11. yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in its lust. We have a choice. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members, your life, as instruments of righteousness to God. And look at verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under what?
Grace.
Praise the Lord. Now, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, and that I was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to what? Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, notice verse 10 of chapter 8. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Anybody say praise the Lord? Isn't that wonderful? Yes or no? Yeah. If there's anyone here today that you don't know, if you would die, that you'd go to be with the Lord forever and ever and ever. We had a men's advance. Ron was telling me that one young man gave his heart to Jesus Christ. That made that men's advance worth everything. Everything. Today, if you've never given your heart to Jesus, I don't know everyone that's here, then it would be good. All you have to do is believe in God, the God of Scriptures. All you have to do is then recognize who Jesus is, that he's God who died for you so you could live forever. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus. This is the easy one to recognize. The third step is to realize that you've sinned against God, and there's a consequence to sin. It's a separation from God. But then as you recognize that, then you take the next step. You believe in God, you believe in Jesus, you know you've sinned against God, then you just simply repent and just say, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I come into my heart. I surrender. I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. That's simple, isn't it? It takes so many of us so long to get there. And so let's bow our hearts in prayer and ask the Lord to bless us here.